welcome, friends, to another episode of Music Scene. I'm your host, Nanette Weiser, and with me today is Dimas Sanchez. He will be performing with the Afro-Latin Jazz Group at the Al Downing Tampa Bay Jazz Association's Afro-Cuban event at the Palladium June 22nd. Please join me in welcoming Dimas. Hello, Dimas.
Hello, Nanette. Hello to everybody. Thank you for being with us today.
Tell us a little bit about your journey from Santurce, Puerto Rico. You're a distinguished musician, educator, and a producer, and very delighted to hear how you got started and share that with our audience.
Oh, I started actually playing percussion. In the group, I'm playing percussion and drum set. But I started playing percussion because of salsa, so I play salsa music for a while. And also, I started learning a little bit about Afro-Cuban rhythms with Angel Cachete Maldonado, who had a group, it was called Bata Cumbele, and also he used to play with Gato Barbieri and many other jazz greats. Also, then I started learning more about Afro-Puerto Rican music with Familia Cepeda, which is a very well-recognized family over the world in terms of the Afro-Puerto Rican rhythms like bomba and plena.
So what is it about this music that you hope will capture the audience's attention? It's become very more popular, much more popular these days. And you know, you were doing this in 1980s. You delved into the rich traditions of Afro-Puerto Rican folklore under the guidance of Jesus Cepeda, Petra Cepeda, and Don Rafael Cepeda. How did you meet them?
Well, my brother, who is David Sanchez. He's a sax player. He used to play with the United Nations band of Dizzy Gillespie. He, by that time, he was playing with the Jesus Cepeda Orchestra, which he was a, kind of like a salsa band, and also played a lot of music about Cortijo and Ismael Rivera. And I told him to introduce me to Jesus, so I started rehearsing with them and then playing later on with them. That was about 1984.
So how has your music changed since then? And also, you compose a lot of new music as well.
Yeah, well, it's been a long journey. one of the things that made me go to the Afro-Puerto Rican music is because many of the drummers I knew, they knew really well their own folk music, you know, like Domun Romão from Brazil, Ayrton Moreira from Brazil, Ignacio Berroa from Cuba. So I wanted to learn that. So actually, I got interested because I was already playing jazz. So I knew that to play jazz, your identity is a big part of it. So through the years, I came to Florida here in 1992, and then I played with musicians that play New Orleans music. So I started seeing a relationship between New Orleans music and Caribbean music in general and with jazz. So I started developing those concepts with Eddie Guagua Rivera probably by 2008, that we started a group. The group was called Opus Mundi. And then we started doing more or less the music that I am playing now, but now I am using music that is more into the folk folkloric music from Puerto Rico about doing arrangements of jazz. So I'm using traditional music actually from Puerto Rico and then turning it into into jazz.
You know what I think is so amazing, and this is something that people who know your music may not know, is how you have shined a light on this by doing master classes all over the world. I mean, in Cuba, in Tokyo, you know, and Central Florida, University of Central Florida. So tell us a little bit about that as well.
Oh, yeah. I started doing some lessons. At the beginning, I was not thinking about that, but then a friend of mine, Jose Rosa, he invited me to do a lecture at University of Central Florida. He had a summer camp. It was a percussion summer camp. And in that summer camp, people like Horacio El Negro Hernandez went there one year. Also Alex Acuña. And they were talking about, you know, their own concepts. So I started in that to be different. I started to bring the concept of the Afro-Puerto Rican rhythms into the drum set. And that's how I started developing that. And then after that, people started calling me and asking me about if I did lessons or master classes. Somehow, I got, after that, into teaching bomba music with a school, bomba school here in Orlando and Kissimmee, which is the name of the school is Escuela de Bomba y Plena Tata Cepeda. Tata Cepeda is the granddaughter of Rafael Cepeda. So I started teaching there, and then more invitations came in, and I had to travel to Japan. And in Japan, there is a group that is playing actually bomba. They actually play bomba, rumba, and many other things. And then I give them a master class there in Japan.
You know, I'm going to brag on you a little bit because I know you're very humble. I mean, you have performed at numerous international festivals in Paris, the MasterCard Jazz Festival, the West Palm Beach Sun Fest, the Guadalupe Jacksonville Jazz Fest, Sarasota Jazz Fest, San Francisco, and Orlando Latin Jazz Fest, but with your group alone, too. You have played at the Timucua, I can't always say that right, Arts Center World Music Festival, and I believe you were here with the Al Downing folks in 2018, is that right?
Yeah, actually we did also a master class. It was a master class first, and then the concert.
Well, you know, tell me a little bit about the importance. You've written a book with Mr. Cepeda in fostering cultural preservation through performance education and musical collaboration. Talk to me a little bit about that and the book that you did.
Yeah, well, what happened is that there was no full documentation presented as a book about the Puerto Rican music, and in this case, the Afro-Puerto Rican music. In Puerto Rico, there are many other musical styles that sadly, they have not been documented well. So the purpose of me doing this, because it started becoming popular, you know, like William Cepeda, my brother, David Sanchez, and many others, they started doing more jazz toward Afro-Puerto Rican music. So I said, well, it's very important now that the drummers know a little bit more about it, because I started listening to some drummers, and I was sure that they probably did not understand well about the rhythms. So I proposed to Jesus Cepeda to do a book about drumming, a drum set. But then he said, well, we better document everything else also, like the history, the instruments, the original rhythms, folkloric rhythms, and then we can get to the more advanced stuff about how to apply in jazz or funk, or and that's what we did.
And drumming is a language, really, in the African culture, right? Is that also true in the Puerto Rican culture as well, that communities communicated via drumming as well as celebrations?
Well, yeah, it's documented that many of slave rebellions in the 1800s were actually planned during bomba dances that were allowed by the masters, usually Sundays. So at one point, those bomba dances were actually banned, prohibited, because of that, and then they put some regulations. But yeah, it's a language. As a matter of fact, I have an interview with Tobos Lubamba in Puerto Rico. That was last March, and he told me how they communicated with drumming, because in our dance, the dancer makes some movement and then the drummer immediately copies them the movement. But in the case of Tobos Lubamba, who is from Congo, it's a little bit more complex, because they actually have a call to call the people from far away, and he showed me the way that they will hit the drum to actually do that, and that they're still doing it on radio, so people don't forget about that tradition.
Is there going to be some dancing and drumming during the concert?
Well, there will be drumming, but dancing, not this time. I have done it in Timucua one time, and I have done it in Pilar's, but in this time, no, it's limited. We have just the band.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your band. Who are you performing with at this concert on June 22nd at the Palladium at 3 o'clock, Dimas?
The musical director, Mariano Morales, the piano player Mariano Morales. Mariano has a very rich history about playing jazz and playing with his own group, also Latin jazz group called Picante. He, just last week, he was in Puerto Rico directing the Symphony Orchestra of Puerto Rico with some suites about Latin jazz and symphonies. So he's also a composer and arranger. Also, one of the composers and arrangers of most of the songs of the group is Jochi Rodriguez in the trumpet. He's going to be there. And Jochi also has a very long list of, accompaniments, playing with big bands in the Henneken Jazz Festival in Puerto Rico, where he accompanied people like Chick Corea, Arturo Sandoval, and all that stuff. And also Jorge Malabé in the sax, who is also a composer and arranger. He studied in FIU and also in the Conservatory of Music of Puerto Rico. In the bass, we are going to have Randy Bordon from Tampa, because my regular bass player cannot do it. So Randy is also a great bass player. So we will have Randy. In the percussion, we will have Anthony Velasquez, who is very knowledgeable about Puerto Rican rhythms and also Cuban rhythms and excellent percussions.
So, Dimas, you'll be sharing information. It'll kind of be a masterclass in concert, because you'll talk a little bit during the show, right? And share some of the history of the music that you're playing. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. I always do. Yeah.
So what else is going on for you this summer? Well, first of all, we're delighted that you're coming in for this concert. You're based out of Orlando, right?
Yes.
So where else will you be performing, either in Florida or elsewhere?
Well, besides going to Aldown and probably July. Usually summers are slow here, but July, I just did a show in Dr. Phillips Center in the jazz club they have at Just Sun Life. It was sold out. Also in July 26, we are going to do Pillars, which is in Winter Garden. I will be traveling to Cuba for some in cultural interchange. That will be at the beginning of July. We have communication with the people that plays over there, Tumba Francesa. So Tumba Francesa has similar roots as the bomba. So we are going to be with them and share some information.
That is wonderful. Do you have any, I know that you've done several notable recordings, Opus Monday, Opus Monday 2, Fusion Beat, and Afro Antilliano. Are you working currently on another recording?
No, not yet, because I just published Afro Antilliano, which was published February. It was published this February, and the concept of Afro Antilliano is to have music from Cuba, Dominican Republic, and Puerto Rico, because in the 1800s, there were several people from Cuba, Dominican Republic, and Puerto Rico that wanted those nations, and that included Haiti, those nations, the Antilles. That's why it's called Afro-Antillano. They wanted the Antilles to get together in a confederation of nations.
It is such an exciting project, and, you know, as I think about culture, music is a way of creating a community, and we're just delighted that you're going to be bringing this here. What is one of your favorite songs that the group will be doing?
Oh, one of my favorite songs that you will hear about it is actually called Yuma or Cachón. It's actually a traditional song from Puerto Rico. You will hear it. It's a traditional song that in the recording, my brother did the sax soloing, and the arrangement of that song is by Hochi Rodriguez. He did a wonderful job.
Were your parents musicians as well?
Actually, no. My father was an accountant, but he was also a baseball player when he was really young and represented Puerto Rico in Cuba, actually. And my mother, she was not a musician, but she was always singing. She was always singing in the choir, in the church choir. And also, that's one way, you know, that's another story that I haven't told, but, you know, my mother introduced us basically to jazz because she listened to Nat King Cole a lot. So when I was a kid, even though I didn't understand English at that point, I was listening to Nat King Cole songs, and also Nat King Cole had a recording that was from Cuban songs. We heard that too. And my father was a fan of Afro-Cuban music.
Isn't that fascinating?
That molded us musically speaking.
So how do the young people of Puerto Rico react to this music? Are they embracing it? Is there another generation that you're bringing this wonderful tradition to?
Oh, they are embracing it because, you know, when I started playing bomba for Creole music, it was almost dead in Puerto Rico. And then that was the 80s. Then in the 90s, when I came here, I didn't know about it because there was no internet or anything. All of a sudden, all those people that learned from Don Rafael Cepeda, they started doing their own workshops, and all of a sudden, the young people of the 90s, they started getting into it, and it became popular. And now those youngsters at that time, now they have schools, bomba schools, and there are a lot of groups, you know.
Fantastic.
Even in Puerto Rico now, they do an event that is called Encuentro de Tambores, you know, like drums getting together. And they have delegations. Some delegations, sometimes they have, like, 50 bomba drums.
I think it's like it has to be a Puerto Rico's Got Talent instead of America's Got Talent. They need to go to Puerto Rico and make that show, right?
Oh, yeah.
With all the friends. So I wanted to ask you finally about West Side Story. When Steven Spielberg redid West Side Story, he purposely redid the music to include more of the authentic music of Puerto Rico. But did he include the kind of music that you're doing, and was it authentic, or was it just kind of a nod to updating so that it would be more respectful to the Puerto Rican culture?
Oh, you know what? I cannot comment on that because I didn't see the movie.
Okay, well, then you and I are going to talk about that after. You have a chance to watch it. We'll have another conversation about that.
Okay.
So, Dimas, what do you want to say to the audience? And the Al Downing Tampa Bay Jazz Association thanks you so much for taking the time today, it says Radio St. Pete, to talk about the Afro-Latin Jazz Party, which is, in fact, also co-sponsored by Mi Gente, Mi Pueblo, a local nonprofit organization with a mission to ensure that all Latinx communities are visible, thriving, and connected. Dimas, your parting words to the listeners of Radio St. Pete.
First of all, I want to thank you for this interview, and also thank the Al Downing Jazz Association and Mi Gente, Mi Pueblo also. I'm telling the people, well, come. I know that you are going to have fun. You are going to learn. I will have some CDs to sell. And any questions that you have about the music, I will be there to answer. I know that Tampa and St. Pete is a very, very nice cultural family, and that has a lot of history. There is a lot of history in St. Pete and Tampa, also about Latin and Afro-Cuban, particularly the music.
Absolutely.
So I would like, you know, come, that you are going to have fun with us on June 22nd at 3 p.m.
Folks, you can get tickets at mypalladium.org. Dimas Sanchez, the doors open an hour prior to showtime, which is 3 o'clock. Bring your family. Introduce your younger people to the Afro-Latin Jazz Project, and in particular, the delightful Dimas Sanchez and his music. Thank you so much, Dimas, for being here today with us.
Oh, thanks to you. And thanks to everybody that is listening now. And have a nice day.